Poddecular episode 187, multiplayer tips for Map of the Month Assembly for the week of April 27th, 2009.
Dear Diary, creepy giants stared at me today and I didn't like it as much as I thought I would.
Welcome to Poddecular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You're about to hear what the Halo Nation had to say about this week's topic at Poddecular.com to help you dominate at Halo. So strap on your Spartan armor and grab a battle rifle, because it's time to finish the fight.
It's come down to just you and me. A battle will decide our destiny.
I'm your host, Duststorm.
I am Chucky J.
I am Zerk Siege.
And I'm Smackified.
Nice. Welcome, guys, to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Chucky, you're back again, I see.
Yes, sir.
Cool. So to all our listeners out there, we have two very, very special guests this week. We have Zerk Siege from Tide the Leader, and we have Smackified from Praetoria Guard. Welcome, guys.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy.
Yay!
Just so it's clear, Deej is short bus special. I'm not.
No, exactly.
He wore his helmet here, but I dropped the war hug.
Oh, okay.
I wear the cowboy hat. You're the one wearing the helmet, oh. And apparently the nipple breastplate and the skirt.
Hey, I got that recon cod piece finally.
They can give that to you.
No special anus armor?
No. No.
Oh, that's too bad.
See, I when I die, I don't fall, you know, face down. That's just bad.
Fair enough. Okay, so again, welcome. We're going to introduce our guests here. From the Good Game Network. First, we're going to start with Zerk Siege from Tide the Leader. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about your clan and what you do over there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For about the past 5 years, I have been writing a blog that started out as blog, tidetheleader.blogspot.com. A very humble beginnings. Right around the time Poddecular was recording its first shows, actually. And this was around the same time that there was a Halo clan posting machinima all over halo.bungie.org. They were praetoriaguard.com. Well, back in the day, what were you, halo2webring.com?
Yeah, it was halo2webring.com.
Yeah, so we looked at those guys and said, look at that. They got like a whole team. They have a whole website. They, you know, play games with each other every night. All I'm doing is writing articles addressed at all the people that were ruining my fun on Xbox Live. Admonishing total strangers for teabagging me and, you know, just welcoming me into a pregame lobby with nothing but hate speak. And, you know, we kind of followed their suit and took things to the next level with, you know, an official clan and then a Bungie member group and then eventually you know, moving on to having our own clan site and our own heavily moderated forum. you know, over time, you know, that just sort of ends up being self-sustaining. You know, if you draw the right people into your clan, we called our clan the TTL Gunslingers. Cashing in on a little bit of cowboy culture, borrowing heavily from Stephen King.
Very nice.
Heroes from his books. And, you know, coming full circle 4 years later, you know, the Gunslingers were on their fourth year as a clan. Smack, Praetoria Guard is how old now?
It'll be 5 on December 24th of this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, in internet years, in clan years, I mean, that's, you know, 9. You know, in Halo 2, when starting a clan was as easy as pushing a button on your Xbox Live interface, you know, clans were, you know, formed and dissolved over the course of an afternoon. You know, mm-hmm. So you knew gamers on your friends list who were in a different clan every time you saw them. But we always liked, you know, just the culture of the team, of gamers coming together to be part of something larger than themselves. And, you know, the Good Game Network is sort of a realization of that, of, you know, 13 different clans who sort of, you know, see each other across, the battlefield and say, "Hey, let's be cool." In the spirit of Pontacular episode 187, we cool. So, that's, you know, kind of where things are currently, you know, in the state of things.
Yeah.
Piece of time.
Cool. So our other guest is Smackified from Praetoria Guard.
Yep. I'm actually not one of the original founders or leaders. I was actually just a regular clan member. And as Deej was talking about self-sustaining, all three of the major people that started our actual website and everything like that have since left, but the PG's gone on. We were around a little bit before TTL, but we used to run Halo2Cheaters.com along with Halo2GameTypes. And as Deej said and everything like that, with the with Halo 3 coming out without any clan support that Halo 2 used to have, you know, I mean, obviously a lot of things have changed in the last 2 years as far as how we structure ourselves. And that came out, you know, a lot of that came into the Good Game Network as well, as far as like linking up with like-minded gamers. When Deej, you know, told me about that, that was definitely something that we jumped on board with, because it's something that, you know, the PG was first started just to bring friends and all that stuff together to be able to have a good group of people to game with. And this is just kind of parlaying into that and making it even bigger to encompass more people. PG's, been around for 5 years, but, you know, we're just looking at the next 5 years basically now at this point, and friends become family kind of thing.
Indeed.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a difficult thing to sustain too, just because when you run a game clan, you know, when you run a gaming clan or try to hold together a community of gamers, the gaming industry changes so quickly. Halo 2 was an anomaly because, you know, we had this, you know, this new gaming platform. I mean, that debuted on the original Xbox, the big black tank.
Yeah.
That we all had. And really it was, for a lot of people, for years, the only reason to own an Xbox. You know, Gears of War was, you know, charming. Call of Duty 3 was, you know, fraught with its own problems. But if you had an Xbox and you were on Xbox Live, you were playing Halo 2.
Right.
And right now with, you know, Call of Duty 4 being awesome, with Call of Duty 5 devouring the attention of a lot of the people that are on my friends list, you know, the Halo Nation is, you know, one possible state in, you know, many different places where you can
definitely
go.
That was one of our major challenges too as well, and I know a lot of clans out there are facing that, is, you know, Halo 3 is getting more and more obsolete, I guess you could say, but I know people are still gonna be playing it for years to come, don't get me wrong on that, but most clans in, you know, of our size, or, you know, have been around as long as we have definitely had to adapt to a multi-game type clan, where it's we're not a Halo clan anymore, we're more of a gaming clan.
Yeah.
I would have to go on record, though, and say that Halo is not obsolete.
No. You know what? Wrong word. Okay.
Well, it's challenged now. You know, Halo was, exactly, at one point in time, the only kid on the block. And I think what's interesting is when people have choices, when people can play the World War II game or the Modern Warfare game or the, you know, the Gears of War game. How embarrassing, my phone's ringing.
Or Team Fortress has entered that fray now. I don't play it that much, but a lot of people on our forums do.
See, at Praetoria Guard, we try to incorporate different things with all the different games that are coming out. You know, you got Gears of War 2, you got, you know, Call of Duty 4, you got that. We try to incorporate a day of the month that's rotating. Like, we play Halo 3 on the 7s, where any day that ends in a 7, we're playing Halo 3. It's a way to get all of our clan members along with our community members online to play Halo. The day revolves because the 7 falls on a different day of every week.
Yeah.
So it's not a static, like, hey, let's get on Saturday. Some people can't make it. So, you know, at least once a month, you know, we can at least get everybody together to play some Halo 3 and kind of, you know, reconnect on that level that we all started with, so...
That's very
Wasn't that the game you used as the platform for your community play date through Xbox.com?
We did, yeah. Well, see, with you know, TTL or PG, you talk to anybody in that clan, what is the one game that everybody's going to have? It's going to be Halo 3, so that's what we decided to go with.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing about the Halo franchise, too, is, you know, Bungie recently celebrated, what was it, 1 billion games played? Or there was some milestone, like 1 billion games played.
I want to say it was 10 billion campaign kills.
10 billion campaign. No, there was another multiplayer milestone.
I thought it was like 7 million to get, like, by the 7th birthday or something.
Well, that was a while ago. That? Yeah, now it's up to 10 billion. It was 7 billion. They were going for 7 billion campaign kill counts, and I don't know that they achieved it in that time frame, but they did like a day or two later.
No, they didn't. Yeah, it took another couple of days.
But to date, more games have been played for Halo 3 on Xbox Live than Halo 2. So if you think about that, there are many, many people who are playing Halo 3 that never played Halo 2.
Right. My game count still hasn't reached my Halo 2 count.
And actually, I would be one of those people because I never had an Xbox as a kid, and the first thing I got was Xbox 360 and Halo 3. So I was one of those I'd had Halo for the PC, and I've been playing that, and I've like played Halo 2 with friends. But as far as like me actually starting into the Xbox scene, it really didn't start until Halo 3, and that's when I got into a lot of this.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. And that's where the community at large is at, too. A lot of people are definitely coming into it, especially, you know, we see it on our websites around, you know, shortly after Christmas and everything like that. We'll definitely be getting more people that are coming around that are definitely new to the whole community. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And even migrating a community over from Halo 2 to Halo 3, you know, there's where you're testing the adaptability of a gamer. That's when you've got your team roster and you've got all these people who are you know, they have a lot of emotional ownership, you know, a lot of emotional investment into being a part of this team. And then all of a sudden, Halo 2 is over. Well, it's not over, but it's succeeded by the next killer app. So everyone migrates to that. And the next thing you know, the Warthog is stronger. The running seems slower. The assault rifle's back. We had some people that just told us they don't like playing Halo 3 as much as Halo 2 and just kind of faded away into some oblivion of playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to mention is like that transition when Halo 3 came out, I think tested a lot of communities for seeing who was dedicated on staying on some of these clans. And I think Podtacular has definitely felt a good majority of that because we had, what, like 6 different rec clans back in the Halo 2 days, Chucky?
Yep.
Something like that?
Yeah, there was at least A through E. I don't remember if there was an F, but there was at least A through E.
Yeah, so I mean, it's definitely been seen in Podtacular, how much that change has impacted at least our community. I don't know what it's been like for you guys, but now we're seeing a whole lot of these other games come in, like the Call of Duty series, Gears of War, GTA, and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's a good thing that communities are expanding into other games, but it's just a really kind of a testing phase to see who your dedicated players are.
Well, you know, and Deej and I both have the benefit of, you know, being around the block a few times. So even when Halo 2 was going the way of the Dodo, we still had, you know, like a year and a half, 2 years into clan life already. At that point, it's more about games. It's more about the relationships that you made with the people that are in your clan. You know, I met a few of the guys in person, and a lot of them, you know, go to school together. And, you know, like I said, it went from friends to family really quick. And so that made the transition a lot easier for us.
Yeah. And even just sustaining people's interest in Halo 2. You know, in the waning days of Halo 2, we were still...
Oh, you remember after you played the beta, nobody wanted to go back to Halo 2.
Oh, yeah, that was tough. Yeah.
Once that was 3 months of hell.
All we had left to do was, you know, like we threw a LAN, you know, and the LAN party has always been a great thing to, you know, sustain the togetherness or that feeling of unity in a clan. In between the... when the beta was over and, you know, you still, you know, had nothing to play on Xbox Live but Halo 2 for, I don't know, how long was that? 6 months?
It was about that. September?
Yeah.
The, you know, getting people together in a hotel conference room for tournaments and stuff like that. And, you know, people still have memories from that party, you know, and, you know, that's one of the main reasons why they have friends in the clan or why they're still in the clan. You know, it really, to get people together in the same room and kind of have a celebration of gamer community is, you know, it can be a magical thing. It can heal all wounds. People who have been flaming each other on the forum, you know, they're best friends. They're hugging, they're getting a place together, you know, it can do wonderful things.
Well, that's one of the hard things for Podtacular is that our community base is so spread out all over the globe. I mean, we have people from Australia, we have people from the UK, that kind of a land kind of thing doesn't necessarily work out for us, and I think that's one of the challenging parts for us. But for you guys, you have a lot of, I'm assuming you guys have a lot of local community base.
No, actually, well, let's see. When we threw the Florida land, that Chucky J attended last year had someone fly in from an Air Force base in Japan.
Wow.
Yep. I got a clan member in China. We got a few in the UK, some in Australia. We're pretty much all over the board too. So
yeah, it's all over. I mean, it's the World Wide Web. And when we did our Chicagoland more recently, last Labor Day, we had someone fly in from Holland and from Mexico City. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's, you know, and in planning that party, you really hope it's going to be good if someone's going to spend 8 hours on a plane over an ocean.
No kidding.
You really want the, you know, you really want the LAN to work. You don't want the router to crash. You don't want the projector bulb to burn out. You know, you
right. Talk about living the expectations.
Well, I guess let's go to the bar, guys.
Yeah, but they end up doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, so, given everything that you guys have just said about your clans and everybody on your site, like I've told you guys a little bit about our, you know, Dusty's told you a little bit about our site, but how do you manage your clans? Because we're in the process of rebooting ours. So I'm kind of curious how you guys do that.
Well, I'll go first here, DJ, if you don't mind. But
not at all.
Basically, everything is you know, delegation, but it comes down to everybody having a vote, everybody having a voice. We don't just run it like tyrants, at least in the PG. I don't know how TTL does it. I'm sure DJ gets on his throne and starts dictating. But no, you know, everybody's got an equal voice, equal footing. There are leaders and, you know, and everything like that, but those are mainly just the people that take the brunt of the drama. That's not something where it's a privilege, I think, to lead. It's more of a, you know, a duty. It's you're wanting to maintain your way of life in the clan, so, you know, that's why you take up the leadership reins. But really, it comes down to, you know, everybody has a say, everybody has a vote. We, you know, majority kind of rules kind of thing, but, you know, there's a lot of other percentages that can come into play no matter what it's involved with, whether it's changing the forums to, you know, our mantra on who we are as a clan on Xbox Live. Everybody has a voice, and, you know, everybody gets to speak that, and everybody has to listen to it. And you may not respect people's, you know, thoughts or anything like that, but you will respect their opinion. You will respect the person. So that's mainly what we try to instill, is just no matter what, have respect for the person before anything else. You don't have to agree with them, but, you know, get along, play nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on your team. I agree with that completely, and I actually really like the idea of discerning the difference between privilege and duty. I've always looked at running a Halo clan as a service that I provide. These people don't have to game on my team. They can go game with anybody they want. But, you know, making, you know, inspiring someone to be interested in being a Tide the Leader gunslinger is something that, you know, requires a lot of, you know, patience and what we would call in corporate America, other-centeredness. I type the leader, you know, I mean, smack jokes around about, you know, me on a big throne, you know, but I actually share leadership with seven other overlords. And yes, we have retained the title, simply because it's the same group of people that founded and staffed up and ran the Halo 2 clan. So as long as, you know, the gunslingers are, you know, built around a centralized core of this overlord high council, that's just what we're going to keep calling it. It's the same.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix nothing. Exactly. But, you know, to the point that Smackified was also making about, you know, everyone has a voice, you know, we have 102 Tide the Leader gunslingers. And to try to make every decision weighing everyone's input would kind of bog us down. So what we end up doing is we empower the people who are kind of advancing the clan and say, what would you like to do? You're most vocal in the game. We'll make you a challenge captain or squad captain. You rule the game. You make sure everyone gets along on the forum. We'll make you an executive officer. You are, you know, in essence, a forum cop. I mean, every clan.
But as with TTL, too, and I'm sure it is this way, everything is volunteer, too. We don't force anybody to do work or anything like that. People come to us expressing interest to help us out with our leadership responsibilities to help lighten our load. So
yeah,
it's all about delegation and finding the people that actually want to do it, but not just want to do it, are good at it and can actually do it. Because a lot of people, you know, will say, hey, I can do this and this, but it's like, then they end up not doing anything. It's like, dude, sorry, but you're going to have to take a backseat to this person and we'll give them a shot. And then you find that one guy or, you know, girl that runs with it completely. And that's just what you love to see, is when, you know, your running back grabs the ball, does a little spin move and takes it to the touchdown. So
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We've got kind of an inside joke at Tide the Leader that you have to be really careful what you approach me about, because if the people who are like the busiest and the most ingrained in our community are the people that approached me once upon a time and said, you know what, I really think recruitment could run better. You know, somebody needs to like keep an eye on the recruitment office. And then I'm like, excellent idea. The job is yours. You're the new minister of personnel. And then before they know it, you know, they're like, you know, we get, you know, like a wave of 30 recruits and this guy's up to his, you know, eyeballs and, you know, hey, I want to be in the Klan. But, you can never tell someone that I want you to go and do this. Anytime you try to force it, you're just going to end up with somebody who's, you know, not really doing the job. And then you've got this person with a fancy title and access to a bunch of discussion boards that people are, you know, interested in reading for themselves, and the job isn't getting done. So then you have to, you know, go through that interesting phase where you're like, hey, you know, like Smack was saying, you're going to take a backseat to this guy because he wants the mantle now. And the first couple of times we made those, you know, successions, I guess you could say, because it's not a demotion. You know, it's not like your pay grade went down. You're still making 1,000 times what you made when you first came and joined the Klan, which is nothing. I think you have to let the Klan be what it wants to be. And setting expectations in advance with maybe a mission statement or some bylaws, it's like, if you're a member of this Klan, that has to mean something. You know, and here are the rules that you agree to follow. And the fact that you, you know, appreciate and follow those rules distinguishes you.
But no matter what, too, you got to stay kind of dynamic at the same time, because even from like Halo 2 to Halo 3, and who knows what the next change is going to be, but you have to be fluid. You can't just stick with the same old, you know, way of doing things every time, because as, you know, Xbox evolves, so do our clans. And, you know, you got to be on top of that as well. Otherwise, the next thing you know, it's like, say your whole clan is geared towards Halo 3, and then a year from now ODST is out and there's like, you know, not too many people playing Halo 3 anymore. What happens to your clan? That's when you start getting dissension and everything like that. But I mean, it's good to have static rules and everything like that, but it's also good to be dynamic at the same time and be willing to change, you know, who you are in order to preserve what you've made, basically.
Yeah. The rules of engagement stay the same, but the tactics start to vary.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
The Good Game Network was a bid for us to help sustain each other. You know, we have, you know, tournaments among all the different affiliate clans in the Good Game Network. We have shared recruitment, so that if one of us does something that gets us a lot of attention, you know, it seems like somebody's already got, you know, always has that community play date or that, you know, Bungie, you know, favorites front page feature just over the horizon.
Tomorrow.
So if a big wave of So if a bunch of people end up coming, you know, if a bunch of people bum rush Pretoria Guard tomorrow and say, I want to be in the PG, they would say, you know, there's no way we can make every single one of you a new clan member.
But here's a page of alliances we have with great people that you can definitely check them out too.
Yeah, exactly. And somebody's always going to need, even if they're in a clan, they're going to need that eighth gamer. They're going to need that, you know, eighth gamer for big team. They're going to need that sixth gamer for squad battle, or, you know, that fifth gamer for double XP weekend, grab bag, special mythic, whatever, you know?
Dual hammers, three skulls. First to 500. Yeah. Let's get it all.
Put that in your funky favor.
Yeah, exactly.
Dual hammer, three skull. It's going to sweep the nation.
Yeah. So while we're on the topic, tell us a little more specifically about the Good Game Network and how that works. I know you've addressed a lot of it already, but like, well, how did you set it up, and how did it come to be, more or less?
How it came to be was there was a venerable old clan by the name of the Panic Attacks.
really?
Sure, I remembers them from the Halo 2 days. They were the first clan to ever come and challenge the Gunslinger. And, you know, in just the fashion that we would want, they beat us to a bloody pulp and then they thanked us. You know, they thanked us. It's a good game, you know, good games, guys. We had fun playing you. And then, you know, then we kind of realized what we wanted to be as a clan. We wanted to challenge other teams. We wanted to know other teams. And we've challenged Podtacular and lost to you guys on a number of occasions.
I think we have too.
Podtacular was always, a great community and still is a great community to challenge. I mean, there's, if you look at the Gunslinger site that we manage on the Tide to Leader web ring, there's a recap of a recent challenge that we had with Podtacular back in January. And the Good Game Network was a chance for us to sort of create a hub, I guess you could say, where all the leaders from these different clans could come together and swap ideas and just, you know, I guess in a sense, not to take ourselves too seriously, but just to kind of like maintain diplomatic relations because, you know, Xbox Live is, it can be kind of a wilderness, kind of a wasteland from a personality standpoint.
Dude, it can be an insane asylum is what it is.
Yeah. It can be rush hour traffic and everyone's got road rage and an automatic machine gun, you know?
And there are no safety cones.
No safety cones, no airbags, no police. And really the goal of, I think, anybody who creates a gaming community is to say, I want to be a little bit more specific about the company that I'm keeping when I go to play this game.
Yeah, when Deej approached me about it, basically, I mean, you could sum it up in a sentence or two, basically saying, you know, it's about getting like-minded gamers together that want to express, you know, the good game. It's about holding yourself to a higher standard of conduct and play while you're in matchmaking. It's you know, about not talking trash or not teabagging or, you know, saying good game at the end of the game because, you know, we all get on live to have fun. This isn't, you know, some of us might be getting paid for them. I want to know how they got into that, but, you know, yeah. We're not getting paid to be here, so, you know, it's about, you know, holding up a flag that basically says, hey, you know what, no matter what, if you lag me out, if you do this, if you teabag me, if you tell me to go blah, blah, my mother, blah, 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 I'm going to basically say, hey, you know what, good game, man. And then just leave the room. That's, you know, it's about not promoting the overall douchebagginess that you can get on Xbox Live.
Yeah. And at the same time, it's not to combat that. I mean, we, you know.
Exactly.
Honestly, we're not preachers. Grown men. I mean, you've got kids. And, you know, we're adults with, you know, adult concerns. And honestly, if somebody wants to get in my face and tell me that, you know, I should learn how to use a BR because I need the Warthog to win a match. I mean, the best it'll get out of me is, you know, a giggle and then I move on to the next opponent.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I'm more worried about my 401k than whether or not I can four-shot you with a BR.
Yeah, I have valid concern. And, you know, the Good Game Network is not there to, you know, evangelize anyone or to try to, you know, tell
change
anyone.
Change anybody, yeah.
Yeah, we're not there to change anybody. We've had people come and challenge us to try to get into the Good Game Network, and the challenge didn't go well. You know, they're sore losers, they're, you know, insulting some of the female members of our clan, and so, you know, it's like, no, we don't want to teach you how to be adults. And they say, you know, they come to our forum and they say, we're going to get our act together and then we'll come back and try it again. It's
yeah,
like, no,
right.
No, not. Because
you either get it or you don't. It's not something that's learned or anything like that. It may be learned over time, but we're not going to be the teachers, basically. We just want like-minded gamers that are already on the plateau that we're at saying, hey, you know what, good game, man. And, you know, it's not trying to prove anything, not trying to, you know, win at all costs, not, you know, but I mean, it doesn't mean we don't fight hard. It doesn't mean we don't go out there and rip it up with the chain gun, but, you know, it's just, it just means that we're not going to be sitting there talking crap to you at the end of the game saying, haha, I went 15-2. What's up, bitch?
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing that happens in that game that's, you know, worth me being cruel to someone else or even, you know, I mean, it's a game, you know, it's, if you're taking yourself so seriously that, you know, you think you're better than someone because you won, you gotta go find something else to be good at because, you know, unless you're a pro, you know, if you want to be an MLG pro, go for it. You know, get famous, get a shoe deal, make a lot of money, live the dream. Good luck to you. But
yeah, you know, the best thing about it, too, though, is that you get so centered around your own clan and what's happening and what people are doing. And you can get frustrated in a lot of ways because everybody's playing, you know, Gears of War 2 just came out and I'm still on Halo 3 and I have nobody to play with now. With the Good Game Network and we have a bunch of those, you know, cheap silver account clan lists. I mean, I play more with just about every other clan in the Good Game Network as I do with my own now, too. And it's just a way to, you know, network even that much more to get that many more people involved on your kind of games. And it just makes the fun go up that much more when you have, no matter when you sign on, you know, I got 36 people that want to play a game. It's like, sweet, I got stuff to do. I'm going to have a good time tonight.
Yeah.
And it's just like that every time you sign on. You're never searching for the good game because you pretty much always have one.
Yeah. I mean, the name says it all. You know, you want to play a good game, you have a network of people that, you know, you can make plans with. And making plans to play the game is a huge thing at Tide to Leader. And
Deej,
yeah.
Real quick, why isn't Podtacular on the Good Game Network?
Well, we, you know, all right, here, just to lay it out, to be in the Good Game Network, you have to challenge, what is it, 5 now?
Yeah.
You needed to challenge 5 affiliate clans out of 13. So then those 5 clans can go onto the Good Game Network boards in the mid-world form at tiedtoleader.com. They will say, you know, the 5 of us have played these guys. They're all cool. And, you know, the 5 of us would like to now talk everyone else into voting for, you know, bringing them in or not. And I think we've had, well, I know we've played you guys.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I think they've been around forever. I'm pretty sure everybody's probably played them
at one point or another. Yeah, it would really pretty much be a formality to get Podtacular.
Let's just say Podtacular gets around, all right?
Yeah.
Just be careful.
Well, so Hype has been heading up our clans, and I know we played TTL, mm-hmm. we played Arm the Flag.
Yeah.
Can you remember the other one, Dustin?
Outcast Reborn.
Outcast Reborn. Those guys are nasty. Did you lose?
I think we... I believe so.
Yeah, that happens.
We all lose to OCR. It's cool.
Yeah. You're like
so
big,
I think we have 2 more to go.
Okay. Well, let's see. Who else?
Yeah, and Hype's been doing a really good job setting all these up for us.
Well,
so.
You should send Hype to Buddy System Gaming or Fallen yep. Unity or Cirque de Geezer or Halo 3 Wheelmen. 8-Bit Brigade has been a fun bunch of guys since Halo 2. The Winged Warriors will thump your skull. The Panic Attacks are kind of, we haven't heard from them in a while. There's Praetoria Guard, always going to put up a good fight. And then Clan Ototh, which was, you know, always a tight-knit little band from Halo 2 days, and we've always loved having them around. And then, of course, there's the Cave Girls. Shame on me for not going ladies first, but...
You save the best for last, dude.
You say, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They will work you over.
So, yeah, any of those guys. And, you know, we've always had a lot of respect for what Podtacular was all about. I mean, every time I've interacted with the Podtacular community, you know, it's been nothing but people who love the game. You know, they have listening to this show and the exchange of these ideas in common, which I think works really well for them. And, you know, as much as we've talked about people moving away from Halo or Halo being challenged for our attention, I think the good byproduct of that is the people who are playing Halo when you go on to Xbox Live are the people that really love to play it.
Yep. They'll be there for the long haul.
Yeah. They're the lifers. They're, you know, we call them the Halo loyalists on our forum when we're talking about the gunslingers who are still just like, no, my BR is solid and I will not put it down. But you know, it's nice to share a community with people that really love to play the game that you're playing instead of just like, well, I bought my Xbox and this is what makes it work, so let's go teabag this guy, I'm bored.
Yeah,
it's nice to have people who are, you know, they're playing their first choice of the game that they would want to play.
But we're not actively going out either. We're not looking for people or anything like that. We do like it when people come to us, but we're not actively looking. We just, you know, we'll find people as they come around to the woodwork and share like minds and like, you know, opinions with us on how we should be playing Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when they become our friends, then that takes a little while. You know, we never intended the Good Game Network to be a who's who of the Halo Nation. You know, we don't think that, you know, having a GGN logo on your website makes you better than any other clan. It's just a matter of saying, these are the guys we know, these are the guys we've played with for a long time, and let's make sure that we don't lose each other as we jump from game to game to game. Let's bring each other along.
Yep.
And say, you know, as the Halo 3 wheelmen, you know, stop driving that Warthog, maybe we can deal them in on some Call of Duty. Or, you know, as the Arm the Flag guys, I mean, that's a very... you know, Halo-cultured type of name.
Yeah.
As was Tied the Leader. I mean, that's what they said when the score was tied in Halo 2. And so many people don't know that. You know, the game lost the lead, Tied the Leader, lost the lead.
As you can tell, TTL didn't want to win a lot of clan matches in Halo 2, obviously.
Yeah.
They were constantly tying the leader.
We've had somebody make fun of us for that before. Like, tied the leader, that's the best you could hope for.
Yeah, that's all I like, I don't got anything else. I go back to the old ones.
I mean, the same thing kind of happened with Podtacular and just podcast and Kiltacular, so.
Exactly.
That too.
Exactly. And.
Well, a lot of good things have spawned off, you know, Halo 2 into Halo 3, and it's something that we're going to take forward into many other games, I'm sure, but I mean, that's what's awesome about Halo. You know, I mean, we've all pulled so much from it and taken.
I guess.
Smack. Yeah, I don't hear him anymore.
Smack. Smack!
Come back! Please!
Oh.
I heard something.
Goose, are you there?
Yeah, we hear you now.
Goose!
I thought we lost you.
My AOL broadband got a hiccup there, so I apologize.
Net zero.
Paid the $9.95 a month.
You have a dust system.
a dust
My
storm.
My dust storm knocked out the internet.
But, Smack, you were talking about, you know, sort of taking all the lessons that, you know, we learned about clans in Halo 2. And that was,
Yeah, and I was just basically saying, yeah, we... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, finish it out.
Oh, I was just basically saying that, you know, we all took so much from Halo and everything like that, and we're going to continue to do so. We've modeled our clans, you know, I mean, overlords, leaders, however you call them, you know, my clan's having some strife with that right now. We're debating on whether or not we're still overlords or not, but I mean, you know, we've all taken Podtacular to Killtacular. We've all taken things from the Haloverse, but that's what's so awesome about that game, and it's gonna live on regardless if, you know, 3 years from now, Halo's not even something that's out there that nobody's playing, but
yeah.
It's still going to be like that, just because that game was so monumental in terms of Xbox and what it did for Live and the Xbox itself. I mean, it made it a legitimate gaming console at the time.
Well, and that's so much about Bungie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know,
how much they give back to the community.
They really do. And, you know, in the playing of all these other games, it really begs to be said that, you know, in an effort to field a team of players that can play Call of Duty or Gears of War, you know, the Tide the Leader Gunslingers are a pretty well-known entity in the Halo Nation. It's not something that we're concerned with or put a lot of effort into, you know, flouting. But, you know, if you look at how easy it is to really know your fellow gamer in playing Halo, if you go to Bungie.net, everyone's got their montages up. They're introducing you to other gamers. They're interviewing their own staff. They're, you know, putting up Bungie favorites from different communities, and, you know, they are introducing us to each other all the time. When I go to callofduty.com or some, you know, Gears of War forum that's hosted by Epic, you know, I
There's
really don't
like
have
that.
Any sense of who these other people are that are playing this game, which makes it less interesting to play for me.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
You know, and to their credit. So, you know, really, you know, it's, for me, not as much about Halo as much as it is feeling like you're a member of the Halo Nation or some sovereign state therein, you know, and getting to know, you know, people like Praetoria Guard or Outcast Reborn or, you know, any of the, you know, Podtacular, any of the different people that, you know, kind of hold each other together and comprise, you know, this Halo Nation that they talk about. I know there's clans in Call of Duty. They built the clan tags into the game, but I just don't, you know, in interacting on the website or the forum, have any real sense of, you know, where these people come from or what they're all about. You know, and don't even get me started about Louis Wu or halo.bungie.org. I mean, that's, you know, another place where we all kind of found each other at first.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, he's done a lot for us, that's for sure.
Indeed. And, you know, if we end up having to play, you know, if Bungie's next project is some third-person shooter where you're casting a spell and worried about economies and growing.
Oh, dude, I'll be there. I'll ride my horse. I will be there riding my horse, man.
I would not be able to follow. I wouldn't at that point. Now,
what if it had flying unicorns and stuff like that?
So you're telling me you wouldn't want to be a cowboy, Deej? Is that what you're telling me right now?
In a game with wizards? And I don't know. I don't want to be a cowboy. I don't want to know. I wanna fly spaceships, and I wanna shoot lasers, and you know, I don't wanna ride a horse, and you know, the stagecoach is coming into town, you know, it's like, no.
Deej is still waiting for the redux of Starship Troopers to come out for the console, so
pretty much. Yeah, we quote Starship Troopers on our forum all the time.
Dude, it's an awesome movie. Awesome movie.
And it's got all that, you know, fascist propaganda in it. So it's, you know, like, why did you kick that guy out of the Klan? We hadn't seen him in 2 months. Service.
Everyone guaranteed fights. No one. Yeah. Everyone fights. No one quits. Yeah. Do you want to live forever?
That's it. Everyone fights. No one quits is in our Klan bylaws.
Wow. Everyone that's hardcore.
No one quits. Yeah. We're the roughnecks at heart. And we always talk about service guarantees citizenship. You don't post on the forum, you get dropped.
Hmm.
And we want people to care. We just want people to care about us.
Aww.
Well, these days though, like Halo 2 had that whole clan page on live and everything like that. But these days, if you're not going to post on the forum, what's the point of even being in a clan? I mean, yeah, we can play games together, and I have a few gamers that are like that too. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, you know. Obviously, they gotta come check out the website and listen to the podcast or do whatever, you know. I mean, it's like, you can't really be part of community if you're only gonna do it, you know, 1 foot in and not really care that much.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kinda like going to practice. I mean, on our clan forum, we've got, you know, pictures of every map in every multiplayer game that we play. We assign call outs to every single location. We've got rushes scripted out and mapped out and,
yeah, you know, I play with TTL, and there's 7 TTLers and me, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? I'm over by this down ship over here. What is that again?
It's Albatross. Yeah, Albatross. Every single... Yeah, and we love copy that.
Yep.
Copy that. I mean, you know, it's part of the role play. The game can be a stage, and you can have fun, and you can play that role if, you know, you put a little theatricality into it.
Yeah.
And that makes the game replayable. We create our own replayability.
I think another part of that is just having people understand that it's pretty much just a game. You're not there to, except for the pros, which that is their career, but for a lot of people, it's like they either get too involved in the game or they get too tense, and that, for me, just kills the whole mood of what a community is and
sure.
Bringing everyone together.
Sure. I think gamers respond to the game in different fashions. For the pros, they, you know, they treat the game like a job, which, you know, I have to feel a little bad for them because this thing that I do for endless fun in my life, I'm sure they still enjoy it. But when something becomes your job, it's suddenly a little less cool.
Yeah. I mean, also for the pros, they're not like backstabbing you if you're doing a bad job. I mean, if you play with like any of them online, they're still really good sports. There's just those people out there that whatever you do, if like they do really good or they do really bad, they're always like trash talking or whatnot.
Teabagging. You know, I caught something like that on TV the other day, and all it was is a bunch of pros running around killing each other. Yeah, they're good, and they're teabagging and trash talking the whole entire time. So you have 50 people that are obviously extremely good at the game, but what does that, you know, do? I mean, for the whole rest of the community, the rest of the, you know, 17 million people or whatever on Xbox Live, you got a bunch of 13-year-old kids watching this, emulating it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And certainly not every single professional gamer is, you know, a
pro. No, definitely not. No, and I'm not saying that either, but I mean, you know.
To make this playable for primetime television, you know, it almost has to embrace this pro wrestling spirit, you know, where the characters who are playing these games are as vivid and, you know, visible as the games themselves. You know, and.
Definitely.
My approach, and I'm sure Smack would back me up on this, I don't relate to the game as a job or a dare or, you know, a measure of who I am as a man. It's just, it's a party, you know?
Yep.
They call it party lead for nothing. They don't call it party lead for nothing. You know, you are part.
After the kids go to sleep and everything like that, it's all about getting on and just having fun, regardless if you go 0-15. I don't care if you're on my team and you do that, as long as you had fun. I don't, you know, that's all that matters. Walk away with a smile no matter what happens.
Well, it's not all that matters.
Well, you know, everybody likes to win, but it's, you know, like you've said even a million times, dude, just how you take your losses and what you learn from them. You learn more from a loss than you do a win any day of the week.
Yeah.
So are Praetoria Guard and Tide the Leader going to be a force to be reckoned with in 1 versus 100?
What is one? What is that?
That's a good question.
I don't even know what 1 versus 100 is.
Like the game show? What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's come
the,
to
the game. Go ahead, Dustin.
No, go ahead, Chucky. You probably know more about it.
The game show is coming to Xbox Live in about a month, probably.
I'd say we're about as much a force in that as we are in Uno, which is what people play when they've had too much to drink and can no longer navigate.
Then it turns into naked. Yeah, then it turns into naked Uno. Trust me, I'll never get that Xbox Live Vision cam, but some people, they can scare you, man. I'll tell you that.
Well, you can speak for yourself. But throwing their junk up in a game of Uno, I would hope not. We would probably have something to say.
DJ's all like, submit player feedback. Play with him again. Yes.
Would you like to join my friends list?
No, you must pay 1,600 Microsoft points to be on my friends
list.
Now, that would be a racket right there.
Well, that's what Little Poison does. I played against him on Assembly, which is the map we're going to talk about. And I will go and look at his profile to kind of figure out if it's the real Little Poison. And sure enough, it has a link to his website. And then it says, if you want to be on my friends list, send me 1,600 Microsoft points.
Wow.
It's like, wow. Yeah. You're
making money early. Isn't there some sort of like child worker law that's being violated there?
Okay.
I'm just wondering. I don't know the legal issues of the whole thing, obviously.
There's an illegal sweatshop on Ghost Town.
Yeah.
Well,
nice.
Very good to hear from both y'all on the whole gaming community aspect. We're going to go ahead and jump to the submissions that we had sent in for this week. We have quite a bit, and we've already taken up a good 40 minutes, so we're going to try to get through as many of these as we possibly can. I'll go ahead and start us off with one from Infinite Singularity. He writes in, the best opening move I use is to move over to the rocket tower, grab the rockets, and hide behind the tower for a while. After about 30 seconds, move back to the top of the rocket tower and rain destruction on your enemies with your rockets and BR, which you should already have. You may want to destroy the fusion coils at the top, shooting one with your BR while you're at the other end of the platform. The reason this position is so good is that you can see half of the map, there's lots of cover, and many escape routes should you need them. If you can, get your teammates to set up around this area. This way you should win. Also, don't bother with the hammer. Rockets beat hammer, and if you have the rockets, you should be fine. If you happen to miss the rocks and you have a hammer, try to be sneaky with it, hiding your presence until you are close to your opponent. Stealth is the key. Also, remember that the hammer, just above the hammer spawn is where the active camo is. Use it. Key fusion coil locations are bottom, middle, and top rockets. There are others, I just can't remember them.
The others are where you blend up, blow up randomly on the map. That's where they're located.
I have to say, I don't remember any other ones, but yeah.
Okay, good. So Old Regime says, Old Regime here, long time listener, but first time submitter. Wow. I have a tip for poning on Assembly. There is an active camo on Assembly, but if you don't know where it is, it'll be hard to find. Okay. Near the center of the map, there is a small room with a bluish glowing beam through the middle. I didn't notice that. The camo is inside the beam. All you need to do is jump through it. It's easy to miss because it blends in so well. Okay. Yeah, that part's true. Since Assembly is a semi-open map, it's easy to sneak up on people, especially with the camo. If you have the Mauler too, you can do serious damage. Oh, and don't forget about the achievement Hammer Time. You get it by getting 5 kills with the Gravity Hammer. That's all for now. Hopefully my spelling and grammar didn't suck. Shout-outs to Nub Poning, India Golf Niner Niner, Snipe Down, all of the Podtacular hosts, and everyone who goes to Godtacular. Keep on fragging people who lose, and then say you suck or cheated, and then leave the lobby.
Party foul. I'm hoping that's sarcasm.
Yeah, it is.
Don't keep on doing.
Yeah, all the keep on fragging stuff is.
And that's our slogan: keep on fragging trucks.
Yeah.
Keep on fragging.
It started like a while back, and we've told the story many a times. But since you guys are new to it, I think one was an episode in the teens, maybe. Back then,
pretty early on.
Yeah, pretty early on. Our very old hosts, Spellcheck and Fumo, were wrapping it up, and I think, what was it? Fumo said keep on fragging, Spellcheck said keep on trucking, and then they just came up with keep on fragging trucks.
Keep on fragging trucks.
Whatever works.
Yeah. So that's the history behind the keep on fragging.
Keep an eye out for that.
You guys should make some t-shirts up. Yeah, sorry.
Do you have t-shirts that say keep on fragging
trucks? We're supposed to be getting some. Captain Crunk, who is our website administrator, was in the middle of some new shirt designs, so hopefully some of those will be coming out soon.
Right on.
Yep.
Cool. This next submission is from Sam, who writes, "Hey, this is Sammer, and this is my first submission. Assembly is a great symmetrical map. I like using this in 1v1, but I'll try to keep this from turning into a book. Many people stay by the gravity hammer spawn. Chuck some frag grenades into there, and then use the special assault rifle."
Whoa, special?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a special.
It only Bungie can give it to you.
That's why I suck.
Go for it.
It's another inside joke.
Oh.
It's loosely affiliated with the battle rifle.
Gotcha.
Special assault rifle. Okay.
Yep.
Alright, he continues to say, "Also, people on the bottom never seem to look up on the layer right above them. So use the AR to take them out, then hide to kill everyone else." This guy's got the killer instinct. Kill everyone else. "Finally, if you play 4v4 on this with some friends, have one guy in the center with the grav hammer. One guy in the center, one guy defending the first guy, and one guy going for rockets."
Doesn't that make three people in the center, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
One guy in the center, one guy defending the first guy, one guy going for rockets. He also goes on to say, "I'm not sure where or if there is a shotgun here. Shotgun awareness is extremely important."
It's a class. It's a class you got to take.
Shotgun awareness 101.
Yeah, where does the shotgun really spawn?
Wow.
Be sure to camp that out with a regen and a bubble.
Yep.
So then he goes on, he finishes by saying, "Keep on fragging 10-year-old hackers that veto any game besides Slayer who yell 'you suck' when you win 25-5 in a 1v1 match. P.S. I made sure to use spell check."
Thank you. We appreciate it.
So then we got Stun Trout writing in. You know how I stun my trout? I hit him on a rock. all right. Stun Trout writes, "Wow, the Mythic Map Pack is so cool, and Assembly is probably my second favorite map. First of all, the skull. Note, first, that to get the skull, you need to be in Forge. The central structure in the map, which houses the gravity hammer and two sort of power cords attached to the top, the skull is located at one of these cords, where the cord goes into the tower. Just fly up as a monitor and bleep loop. 25 gamer points is yours. Bleep bloop. Secondly, this map is a lot like Desolation from Halo 2. Ranged weapons are great because most battles will be long distance, a melee weapon in the middle, people seeming to just run around in circles. It's pretty easy in Halo to do what other people do not do. Within reason," I can't read this right. "period, tears, comma, there, don't just run around randomly looking for kill because you will be killed, comma, exclamation point. Instead, secure something like the rocket hammer or the power drain. Also, the gravity hammer is surrounded by explosives, so if the enemy team get to it first, just throw in a grenade and twinkle, which is boulder. Instant bits and pieces." I don't know.
I told you it was going to be like a grammar test. It's a reverse grammar test.
Reverse psychology.
Big shout out to Duststorm, Glueless, and Crypto for the awesome work you are doing for the community. I've tried before and it's hard work. I forgot to mention my last post, but I am a new submitter. I have been listening since episode 97 and I'm not going to stop. Keep on fragging, veto screaming, trash talking, bunny licking, truck driving noobs. Trout signing off.
Everybody,
Deej, don't you have a guy named Bunny in your clan?
He's not licking my bunny.
I don't know.
Trust.
Yeah.
No one licks my bunny.
By the way, quick question. I'm not sure how much you've played of the Mythic Mask, but what do you think about them? Good, bad, average? Just a real quick synopsis.
Sandbox is by far the most awesome thing that Bungie has ever come out with, I think, with having three different levels and just the variety that you can do on that map alone is beyond epic. If I were to only have one map for the rest of my Halo career, it would probably be a close tie between that one and Blood Gulch.
Ah, Blood Gulch.
No, Sandbox wins hands down. I mean, Blood Gulch was charming, and it's, you know, like going back to elementary school, but yeah, Sandbox.
That's nostalgia for me right there. So
it is. And my favorite thing about Sandbox is going to halotracks.com and downloading Mongoose Racetracks. These guys, you know, they do the geo glitching or whatever you want to call it when you're merging objects together.
Yeah.
And they make these racetracks that are, you know, they're perfect. I mean, they're epic. Just perfectly seamless. And they've got, you know, figure eights that wind around kill balls up in the sky and all kinds of cool stuff. And, you know, I think we've only just begun to really see the creativity and what people can do with Sandbox. So, you know, I hope they keep that coming because it's a lot of fun to see what other people build.
Assembly and Orbital are good too, but I think for groups like mine or Deej's is basically, you know, we run a lot of bigger groups, so we're always playing a lot more like big team battle and not so much 4v4 either, so we definitely relate more to the bigger maps, I'd say. But Orbital and Assembly definitely have a lot to offer as well. I just, you know, when I go into the Mythic map pack, you know, playlist, the only thing I'm thinking about sometimes is achievements, and that just kills my fun right there, because apparently I can't get 2 kills from the grave to save my life.
Oh no!
Is that even possible?
I don't know.
Yes, actually it is.
Yeah, and they're beautiful maps too. I mean, just to see that, you know, that scarab frame come out of the port on Assembly and then get charged up, whatever they're doing there.
Yep.
The longer this team of designers at Bungie keeps designing maps for the same game, the more they can really kind of push themselves and just refine the details. You know, it's just the little things. Like if you're on Orbital and you go and you see the monuments to the guys who invented warp drive, I mean, that gets my geek up. I'm thinking about Zefram Cockrum from Star Trek, something like that. You know? Like, these are the guys that took us to the stars. And the fact that everything they do invests just a little bit deeper into their story canon. You know, now we know where the scarab comes from. Now we know where that huge gravity elevator terminates in orbit over Earth. You know, now, you know, we know, well, we don't know anything about Sandbox. It's just weird. You know what's on the other side of the planet where Sand Trap is. I don't know. But, you know, it just makes you ask more and more and more questions about, you know, what is this world where the Chief comes from and the United Nations Space Command, you know, holds sway over the entire globe. And, you know, I love that stuff. So, you know, there's always, when the new maps come out, just driving around and, you know, like reading the seal in the floor on Orbital and,
you know, the only thing I'm hoping is that we know Mythic is like the end of the line, but I really hope that even after ODST comes out that they'll still, you know, reward the Halo 3 loyalists and, you know, maybe produce another 3 maps even after, you know, 4 months, 5 months after ODST comes out. I think a lot of games that still have a lot of pull, like, you know, Call of Duty 4 still has a lot of people playing it, but I think, you know, it'd be awesome if developers keep, you know, generating maps for those games that people are still obviously playing every day. And I hope Halo 3, I hope Bungie, you know, would still come out with maybe even another set of even 2 maps or something like that well after this is all said and done. So
yeah,
as long as it doesn't distract them from their next project.
I'm pretty sure they know that they're going to make more money on it than they put into it. So, you know, I mean,
yeah,
let's do it, guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's the roof.
And some of the remakes that have been, like, released in Sand Trap, like Foundation was remade to what, Excavation, and then Hang'em High was remade. So,
yeah, it's always been one thing I have not been interested in. I've always been the guy who's disappointed when, you know, because, like, as I was saying, I like to see a different corner of the Halo verse, if you will. And when they invest all that effort into just giving me something that will remind me of Lockout, you know, we've been there. You know, I'd rather see a different training facility or a different spaceport or a different, you know, I really want them to, you know, be able to flex that creative muscle instead of just rebuilding something that people miss. Because if you miss it, go play it. That's always been my argument. I know it's ubiquitous on the Bungie forum or anywhere where they have this debate, but I think, you know, if you miss Relic, go play it. It's still there.
Yeah.
So then what did you think about Blackout then?
You know, Lockout was never my cup of tea. I drive a Warthog. I'm a Warthog pilot. You know, I'm not a ground pounder. I'm not a rifleman. my BR sucks.
I think the subtle differences between the two are definitely noticeable, regardless of how subtle they are. I used to play a lot of Blackout, and when I got Blackout for the first time I got on there, I was like, wow, I can't make, you know, a quarter of the jumps or, you know, a third of the jumps I used to make on Lockout when you could just go anywhere, you know. But yeah. I don't mind remakes and maps so much. If they're bundled up with something else and they throw it in there, hey, you know, whatever. I'm down for nostalgia as well, because, you know, I can't really throw Halo 1 on and go play a map. I wouldn't mind if they came out with like every Halo map that's, you know, ever been and just said, hey, here they are, now playable in Halo 3. Go at it, guys.
Yeah.
You know, you still have the same weapons. The plasma pistol's not going to follow you like it did in Halo 2, but say you're playing on, you know, Coagulation or Blood Gulch, and, you know, not the same weapons, but they're going to be Halo 3 weapons. I wouldn't mind seeing something like that either.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Longshore is going to be a headlong remake, because that would be so awesome.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, like Ghost Town, I've heard, like, some people like it, some people don't, and I thought it was a really fresh addition to Halo 3. Basically the new Mombasa water plant. So I thought that was really
for certain
good.
Game types, I think it's great. Slayer and everything like that, but as soon as you play, you know, a Capture the Flag or a One Bomb or something, it generally gets into, hey, you know, 90% of the time this is gonna tie. So it really comes down to the game type on that map. I personally love Ghost Town. I think it's a great layout, but, you know, I mean, some people just, it's not their cup of tea, but I think it's that way with any map. Some people are just geared towards playing, you know, 4v4 on this kind of map and this, where you just, you know, got to spread it out, and some people are going to like it, some people are going to hate it.
Yeah.
Well, and the design was cool also, you know, just like the bristling rebar sticking out of the sides and stuff, you know, it kind of had that... Definitely. That Gears of War destroyed beauty feel to it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll jump right back in here to submissions, since we took a nice little tangent.
Tangents are good.
Yeah, they are. And it was my fault, so I'll take the blame for it. Anyway, our next one comes from Daniel. He says, hey, Podtac, it's FunnyBoy78 here with a gameplay tip for assembly. When you first start the match... go off to the right of your spawn and spam grenades. Most of the time, many people go that way to flank you. Keep on fragging Born117 because he's ugly.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, Born, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Good game, Born.
Nice.
Shut up.
Well, I'll take the next one since the last one was short, but what were you going to say?
FunnyBoy78 just started following me on Twitter. I hadn't heard his name before now.
Really? Yeah. He's been around for a little bit, actually.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I think he's been here for at least like 2 or 3 months, but... Yep.
That Twitter's gonna rot your teeth.
Your face is gonna stay like that kind of thing.
The only reason I have it is because, by popular demand, Podtacular wanted me to get one, so I got one. That was pretty much it.
That's how it normally works.
So... I use it like I use Facebook, though. So
if it's like mine, it will say, this will never be updated.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to make a Twitter protest page. I'll be watching cable news, and they'll say, follow us on Twitter. I'm like, why? I'm sitting on my ass on my couch watching you right now.
It's for when you're not watching them, though.
Well, then that's for when I'm not watching them. Each step away, Alan, life. The internet sugar on Twitter. Anyway, what does Nightlight have to say?
Nightlight says, hey, Podtacular, it's Nightlight 02. I've been listening for a while, so I've decided to finally write in. There's a bullet shield near the middle of the map. If you go there and get it, throw it. From there, you will be able to see the two hallways and get some kills. Okay. Another trick is to go where the cliff is. Well, that's what I call it. Grab the sniper and aim down to the other level under you. Where's the cliff? Is that rocket spawn or?
Where do you throw the bubble shield? Maybe you throw the bubble shield off the cliff.
I don't know. There's not really a cliff on this level.
I didn't know you could fall off of it. Can you? I don't think you can.
Yeah, you actually can. If you jump off the side, yeah.
See, I've never gone that way with it, so hey, can I do this?
Believe me, when you're forging and trying to glitch out of the map, it happens a lot.
Oh yeah.
He said you get ton of kills, so I'm not sure where exactly that is. But he says, shout outs to B3, B2, and G Lewis, G Rock. Yes, Deathstorm and Crypto also. Say hello to our guest host. He says, hi, guys. Hey. keep on fragging monkeys that spew fart juice and that are driving a truck full of Max ready to explode.
Nightlight wins.
Nightlight signing out.
These get weirder and weirder. Do you arrange these by how weird they're getting?
No.
Dude, he said spew fart juice. I mean, that right there is, you know, he wins.
He wins.
We don't even need to go to MLG Elite Iceman. I mean, come on.
there's some of these actually, like, submit a 7-line keep on fragging trucks entry. And it's just ridiculous.
That's all tough to read. I want to be on that show. I just want to be on the shout-out, sign-off, frag trucks that are killing Big Macs or whatever.
But only if we get fragging, keep on fragging t-shirts, Deej.
Yeah, exactly. It's MLG Elite Iceman.
All right. AKA Elite Spartan. So, sup, guys? It's Elite Spartan 182, now MLG Elite Iceman. And I think he told us that last week, too. Here to help you find the mythic map pack skulls. The assembly skull is located in the center of the map on top of one of the pipes. Okay, we talked about that one. The orbital skull is located in the pit of death area, where it is possible to fall to your death. Go to the chasm, enter monitor mode, and float up the pit. The skull is on a small ledge near the top. It's dark, so look carefully.
Night vision on.
Actually, I don't
think it's that dark, is it?
No, and it's not even. You know, it's not
might
even
have
on
like a 12-inch TV that's like black and white. I mean, you never know. Right?
It's not even like in the pit of death area. It's on. I know where it is because I found it. I'm sorry. I have a map save of it. That
it's around there though. Right?
You spawn right. I have a map that you spawn right on top of it. So yeah.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So basically, if you're facing the sun. You have the turret that's right on the right. To the right of that, there's the sand dunes, and there's a part where...
This is orbital.
Oh.
You're talking about sandbox.
Oh, God. Wow, new move
Come
right
back
there.
After this brief commercial break, people.
Okay. Okay, yeah, so pit of death area. That's right. That's but, right. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Wow. Wow, okay. So finishing up on...
That's what Elite Spartan's about to get to, so go ahead.
So finishing off on the sandbox skull, if you're facing the sun, there's a pillar right to the right, and just to the right of that, there's a place where the sand dunes come down together. And all the way out against the wall, that's where the skull is. And to get there first, you basically have to go in the monitor mode and dodge the turret shooting at you.
No way.
And the way I got it was actually held a spawn point. And I didn't quite get there, but I had enough momentum that the spawn point landed on the skull. So that's how I got it. But wow. It's all the way out there.
Here's a quick tip. If you get 16 people in the party and y'all run out there, one of you is bound to make it. Whoever wins, wins. All the rest of you got to do it all over again until everybody gets the achievement. Do it that way, kids.
Then you're storming a French beach in 1950.
Make sure to video it. That'll be epic to watch. I'll host it for you if you make it. I'll tell you that.
That would be a good like short film just to make. Throw it up on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. It's the sandbox marathon.
There are some maps where they've put those tubes or tunnels so that you can basically walk right to it and be protected. But I believe Bungie's been taking down those from their website, so you pretty much have to get it from one of your friends.
Yeah, well, Bungie wants you to, to get an achievement, they want you to actually achieve something,
Yeah.
That was one of the things when, we didn't beta test anything, we got a sneak preview of the Mythic map packs when they came out, and that was one of the big caveats that I was given. I don't want to see these maps up on eBay, and I don't want anyone to know about the skulls.
Right.
It's there's the culture of figuring something out for yourself.
Yeah.
But whatever, you just wrecked it for everybody. So.
Okay, so he says
So for orbital.
That's like the Titanic Sieg stage. I think we all know where they're at now.
Yeah, but did you know that Kate Winslet was never going to let go? No, and that's what made the movie.
She should have, man. She should have. I would have. If I was looking at Leonardo DiCaprio, I would have let go. I'm telling you that right now.
But then she says, I'll never let go, and then she snaps him off and lets him sink. I was thought it was weird. I was weird.
That could be the first Titanic reference in the history of Podtacular.
Oh, really?
It probably is.
Smack and I will sing the whole Celine Dion song if you like.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'll dance, which they can't see, you know, but you go ahead and take the high note.
You've got to read Elite Spartan's sign-off here. It's one of my favorites.
Okay, so he says, good luck with the show, and keep on fragging fat kids that eat a lot of Twinkies and go into a sugary coma and is woken up by a Big Mac.
Yeah. Nice. See, the Big Mac served the purpose of the amyl nitrate. You just break it open on his nose, and he comes out of his Twinkie coma, apparently.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Indeed.
Twinkie.
Up next, we have Dragon 635. Hi, this is Dragon 635, long-time listener.
Wow, we've had a lot of those.
You have. You brought a lot of people out of the woodwork. You've been beating the bushes. Dragon 635 also promises that he's going to use punctuation to make life easy for us guys. Now on to the tips. He says, assembly is the perfect map for Team Slayer or any competitive game type. Important weapons are rocket launcher, times one, gravity hammer, times one, battle rifle and carbine, times four, brute
too
shot,
math.
Times two.
yeah, he uses the awesome.
Bagger and add all that together, that's one, two, six, that's eight weapons.
I was told there wasn't going to be a test, dude.
There is a test.
At least multiple choices.
See?
So here are his tips. Always go on Forge to get used to the map and the power weapon respawn points, i.e. shotgun awareness. Very important. I wouldn't recommend going for the grav hammer because the enemy and easily chuck a grenade into the middle room and kill you. The grav hammer is a epic fail even if you get it because the opponent can easily AR, BR, or nade you to death when you chase someone with it.
Mm-hmm.
For the people who can't find the rockets, it is up the blue list. This is also the perfect map for strategy of nading and then BRing because of the open area. Keep on the top level most of the time and wait to drop down to get assassinations, quote-unquote, back smacks. Bubble shields can easily be abused to your advantage on this map.
Abuse it.
You gotta love something that's easily abused. Final point. The active camo is on the top level middle room. That's all the tips. Here's a possibly failed attempt at fragging. Keep on fragging trucks who wear anus armor and noobs who shout veto and steal Dusty's watch. Dragon 635 signing out. They steal your watch?
More Podtacular insiders.
Oh, wow.
Who was it? Was it Stall Me Please? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
I think it was. But he had this whole thing, like, on the show, like, his keep on fragging was basically, like, pretending he stole watches. So.
What time is it, man?
I was like, I don't know. Oh, man, my watch is gone. But yeah, he's down a little further on. He says he steals another watch, so we'll get to that later.
Alright. Fungus Oz writes, hey, Podtacular, this is the Fungus from Oz with some assembly tips. When in a normal Slayer match, try this strategy. Grab a SAR.
Special assault rifle.
Ah, you see the act. Okay, I'm good. I gotta write this down. Hold on. It is the most important weapon to have on this map. Don't rush power weapons until you have a BR. Just think. Gravity hammer plus... we got more math. Hold on a second. Gravity hammer plus AR equals fail. Rocket launcher plus AR equals okay. Rocket launcher plus BR equal awesome. Grab hammer plus BR equal epic ponage sauce. If it is team... I want that on my Halo Poodles. I don't know about you guys, but... If it is Team BR's Rush Camo before anything else, because not many people have yet noticed it is there, and once you have it, it is easy to use your epic ninja Gluis skills to take down a power weapon-bearing Noobazoid. You could even jump down and backsmack the guy who just grabbed the grab hammer. Just for the record, it is hidden in the tube shield in the center of the map, just above the grab hammer spawn. P.S. Gluis, I am sorry I didn't give you the Pokemon cards for accepting my friend's request. They were so shiny that some magpies ate them whilst they were being mailed to ATL. The best place to be! Shoutouts to Duststorm, Crypto, Gluis, Cyan117, Gutsy Chipmunk, and all and any other of my unmentioned Xbox Live homies. Keep on fragging fat black magpies that steal Gluis's Pokemon cards, Crypto's Crumpets, Duststorm's Watch, Lancelot's Cookies, Captain Planet's Hot Pockets, JVB's Air, and Fumu's Folding Bikes. Fumo?
Yeah, right? Fumo.
Fumo. See you all on Xbox Live.
I've got no air.
To give those people air.
It pretty much summed up Arnold Schwarzenegger. JVB's like a very good Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonator. So he did a song a while back. I think it was he did it for PGR, just like a little short or something. And it was like a No Air remix.
Oh man, I need to find that.
It's on PGR somewhere on the website. But yeah,
pick it up and run it behind the credits for this show. Your homework assignment. You're welcome.
Now. Before you read this one, Dusty, I just want to know, was Chickenfoot on the toilet taking a dump when he wrote this?
Is that something I'm supposed to figure out, or?
That's when he called in to the call-ins, that's what he was doing.
Oh, really?
He was sitting on the turlet, T-U-R-L-E-T, taking a dump.
Hey guys, dropping my kids off at the pool. Thought I'd give you some tips for assembly.
As far as I know, he was not on the toilet when he did this. Yeah, that was kind of interesting. Anyway, Chickenfoot089 writes in, "Hey guys, Chickenfoot here with a tip for assembly. I figured I can't do a skull submission because you guys will have billions." Mm-hmm. We have a few. We'll have billions, but... my tip is that you should go to rockets often because few know where they are. Go to blue grav lift and they're on top, or go up side ramps. When charging for grav hammer, wait a second when they are running in. Use a grenade. The side explosives will kill the enemy. Thank guys and sorry about not posting much. My Xbox broke, so I'm using SRNs. I don't know who that is. Which I can use for only a certain amount of times. I should get it fixed soon. Keep on fragging jokes like this. In the paper, it said a dwarf was robbed. Fumo, you got some explaining to do. The title was, "How Could Someone Stoop So Low?"
Oh, LOL. Ouch. That's just bad journalism, too.
Wow. That's amazing. Oh.
So Cobra 2 says, "Hey Lancelot, Just Storm, Crypto, and others. This is not my real gamer tag because I have no Xbox. I use the one at my friend's house. And I go there regularly though. Cobra 2 is the one I use in Halo 1. Really?
Whoa.
Wow.
Pistol. Okay, gamer
tag in Halo 1.
Yeah, I want to play Halo 1 on XBL. Can you tell me how?
Xbox Kinect. Sorry, did I say that outside?
Nice.
X-Link? I don't know.
I was thinking one of those two.
The normal gamer tag is Uncrossed Killer. Anyway, I have some helpful sniping tips. Okay. Never stay in one place, because once someone finds you, they'll know where you will normally be, so move around and change sniping positions after a few snipes. Another helpful tip is set a hit point. In other words, predict where they will go and keep your aimer where you think they will go. And then, when they come by your sniper aimer, shoot their brains out."
Is personally, there a sniper on
somebody? No, not by default. So.
Okay. I'm thinking this is general tips here.
Probably.
Personally, I like to light their dead bodies up or teabag them. Well, we in the Good Game Network... Oh, wait, we're not members yet.
You ain't gonna get in if you got a bunch of PodTac guys teabagging folks.
That's right. So, no teabagging. Thanks for your time. Keep on fragging those frickin' she-noobs. Okay. We don't frag she-noobs either.
I think he's talking about banshees. But.
Well, I learned a lot about sniping there. I figured out what I've been doing wrong. I've been aiming at people's feet. And I've been standing still, so I'll That's be sure to change that.
That's how I do it, man. So, ex-legendary Pete says, "Hey, Podtacular, this is my submit for the map of Assembly. Bungie did an awesome job with the maps, and Assembly is a good example of it. Always to the tips. You always want to have a secondary weapon like a battle rifle or a hammer, etc. Because you can overpower most people because most of the people use only the AR on here and you can get easy kills. Long shots are better than short shots. Another tip, always be on the top level so you can jump down on enemies when they would see you coming because most people don't look up because they think the guy on radar is in front of them on the same level. There's a lot of high ground mentality here at Podtacular. I'm noticing that. Not only is there a lot of high ground mentality, but everybody wants to jump down behind the guy. You know, it's like a big haunted house or something. Final tip, learn where most things are on the map, like regen, rockets, and camo, because they will give you a huge edge every time. That's all the tips I've got to give. I've listened to the podcast since episode 130, and I still love it. Keep it up. Keep on fragging folding bikes with Nana Midgets."
Okay.
Is that supposed to be Nay-Nay Midgets, or?
I don't know.
Maybe it is.
I think it's Nay-Nay Midgets.
Like microscopic midgets.
All right, stall me, please. "Hello, Podtacular. I am here with my strategy for this map. Assembly is a map that can only be won on by controlling the top level." Here we go with the high ground. Yeah. "It is smart to grab ASAR." This one has an A in front of it now. I mean, come on. We got to find the right acronym.
People. No, there's an A space, and then he has the...
I didn't see that. I didn't see the period. That's my fault. Stall me, please. Forgive me. "And stay on the upper level. From the base, you can see the other team spawn, and from the catwalks or bridge platform thingies, you can aim down below and stop any fights or flag carriers from above. If you are a flag carrier, the best thing for you to do is to hide in their base with it for a while. After 30 seconds or so, they will look for you somewhere else. All you have to do is cut straight through the middle to your base. If you get shot at the middle area, Daria has a lot of cover and the shield barrier in the middle. If you get in trouble in this area, all you have to do is jump down the hole in the middle and go to your base from the bottom. By the time people get to you, you should have already went up the grav lift and scored. For the bomb mode, or whatever it is called, just do the same thing. Sorry, that is not a lot of stuff. Keep on fragging, Lewis. You asked a few weeks ago why I caught stealing a watch from a rich Spanish investor, and they didn't take it away from me when I went to jail. That is because I had a decoy. It was a watch I stole from a Dollar General. I gave them the one, and I swallowed the other just in case they were suspicious. I then crapped it out and then picked the lock to escape. Sorry for the cute. Stall me out. Maybe he was posting from the toilet.
Wow. Well, now everything's been clarified. I feel much better.
Yeah, I can sleep easy.
He's yanking your chain. You can't crap a watch. Just saying. I don't think it's
I don't know.
I don't buy it, fellas.
Passing on through.
I think you'd have digestive failure on the way out. Or somebody would like punch you in the stomach and yeah.
Dude, it comes out like 1 hour ahead. It's like, wait a minute.
it's like you have the alarm goes off and it's in your stomach.
Oh, man. I can't turn it off.
No, it's like you like kick the ground and it stops or something. It's like,
somebody punched me in the spleen. I got to take my alarm clock off.
Oh boy. Okay. So next one comes from Big Gooba Fish. It says, "Hi, Podtacular. It's the Big Gooba Fish. Today I am sending in my online tips for the new Mythic map Assembly. First of all, when you are playing two flag CTF, your team must have at least two people guarding your flag at all times, because it is very easy for someone to sneak in and take the flag when no one is looking. Also, it helps to have control of either the Graf Hammer or the rocket launcher, as the power weapons, although kind of boring, will help to win the game. When playing a Slayer game, it always helps to have stickies, plasma rifles, carbines, special ARs, Graf Hammers, and of course, the awesome set of skills. Keep on fragging truck driving midgets that frag Fumo's, folding bike while stealing Duststorm's watch. Gooba out.
Wow.
A lot of midgets on the brain.
Well, Fumo hates midgets, so.
Does he really?
No.
No.
It's just another one of those Podtacular inside jokes. There's a lot of them. There's, I don't know, how many you think there are? About 30? Chucky?
At least.
You guys should get a page going on that.
Actually, there was an idea.
List of Podtac euphemisms.
There was one back in the day. I have no idea where it is.
Yeah, we should have stickied it, but it's probably lost in the ether now.
We should probably make a new one.
You hear all that, right, Fumo? Get on that.
Yeah, get the old host back involved in this.
Yep. Okay, so let's finish this off with bikes are sick. But hopefully it's not Fumo's folding bike that's sick.
Well, unless it's sick in a good way.
Oh, it could be sick as in good. Yes, I didn't think of that. All right, so hey, Podtacular, if CryptoFlix is reading this, I suggest you swap so Dust or Guest reads it because it may be confusing. Okay, well, Crypto is busy, so we will take it. Well, anyway, I'm a short-time listener, first-time submitter. I've heard a few of your podcasts, but not a lot, mainly the multiplayer tips. So here's my tips. Use frag grenades when using a special assault rifle in tight places. When using a ghost... okay, so this must be general tips, too. Yeah.
Maybe.
When using... As far as I know, there's not a ghost on assembly.
No, there's not.
When using a ghost, take sticky grenades in case you get hijacked. Don't waste ammo on noobs that are not playing the game. Don't always go for headshots when using a sniper rifle. Okay. The easiest way to win a game is stay together in your team. Never use a mongoose in a game unless it can capture the flag. A special assault rifle is the best gun in the game because of its range of fire. I don't care what you say, but the special assault rifle is the best gun. Don't pick up any guns you're not good at using. Oh, then I should stop picking up the sniper.
You and me both.
When you are trying to snipe, don't crouch. Never use an assault rifle. Really? Okay.
Ever.
Unless you spawn with it. Actually,
if you spawn with it, just melee.
Actually, I find like if you're doing a lot more close range, it's better to use the assault rifle than a BR because you get more bullets out of it. And like if you only get two shots with a BR and then you melee, you don't get them. That's not the instant kill for them. But if you like AR, wait for them to melee you and keep on shooting until they melee you, and then you melee with the AR, you always beat them out. So.
Right.
At least that's what I've found with me playing. So sometimes the AR can be a little bit better over the BR. Just depends on range.
Dude, it's a machine gun. If you use it right, you're going to kill.
That's right.
It puts bullets in the air.
You may not like it, but they put it in the game for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, with Deej and I, it's like, what can we pick up? Don't pick up any weapon you're not good with? All right, I'll just sit here, guys.
Yeah. Oh, God. Can I drive the car?
Yeah,
can I
exactly. I'll honk the horn for you.
Okay, so don't team kill.
Okay. Amen.
Okay, so that's all I have for this post. Shout out to Crypto, the hit of a Brit. My YouTube is youtube.com/bikesaresick. Gamertag Halo3 Tricker, okay? And website halodudes.tk. I've got my own podcast. Go to halodudes.tk. Thanks, and see you guys.
Wow, quite the entrepreneur.
Yeah. I wish I had all those things.
Oh, wait. I think you do. Yeah. Okay, that's wrapping things up. Send your comments, etc. And submissions to... Wow, I just messed that up. Send your comments and submission to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send your submissions in for next week's show using the big green button on the front page.
You can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO and leave a Halo-related message, not a debt relief-related message. We play these back regularly on the Collins and Tales from the Boxhole show.
I honestly wonder sometimes how we get on those call lists.
Yeah, I don't know.
They just auto-dial random all day long.
You probably had some guy pissed off at you and he submitted you to like every online entity with a phone number possible or something.
Awesome.
Magazine in
would
your name.
You, yeah. Would you like to support the Christian Children's Fund? No, I want to see little kids die. What do you think? I mean, come on.
I don't know, but like we at least get like 7 or 8 calls that's like, we have this debt plan that can get you out of debt in so and so years. And it's like, okay. And it's like there's a different voice each time. And it's like you can almost make a montage of it all. And you can probably make a rap with it. That's how bad it is.
Boxing earlier, we could have put that in here.
Are we supposed to read these bullets too?
Yes.
Be sure to check out our website at www.podtacular.com. And while you're there, check out the forums. There's tons of events, projects, and ways for you to make friends and play Halo, as well as many other games with cool people. Some of the things you can get involved with in this community are the Halo 3 Recreational and Pro Clans, the PC Rec Clan, Community Lead events, and much, much more.
Thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on our community, contributing to our PayPal to help with the hosting bill, following us on Twitter, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us on iTunes. We couldn't do it without you.
Check out the other shows on the GamerCast Network, Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer, Sarcastic Gamer, Achievement Junkie, the GCN Video Game Show, JVB's show Post Game Report at TalkingAboutGames.com, and Destructoid.
And very soon, Respawn Radio from Sarcastic Gamer.
Oh, we have a new one coming on.
Yeah, Lano's starting up a new show.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So what's the next show, Dustin?
The next show that we have for y'all is going to be the Customs and Creations. Specifically, we're looking for Mythic map pack ones, although we still are going to accept all kinds of Customs and Creations, but we're specifically looking for Mythic map ones. So make sure to get those in when the submission request comes on the front page, and we're expecting a big turnout for that. So, yep, get out there, create your stuff, get it submitted, and we'll read it on the show.
Cool, man.
And one more thing before we go, you guys want to tell our audience your websites and how to find out more information about you guys?
Yeah, sure. This is Smack Fag. Come to PraetoriaGuard.com. You might need to learn how to spell before you can check it out because there's a lot of A's and E's everywhere in there. So if you Google search it, you're pretty sure to find it. We're apparently more popular than the movie 300 when you put in Praetoria Guard. So anyways, PraetoriaGuard.com. Come check us out.
Cool. And you can find me, Zerksteej, as well as all of the Tide the Leader Gunslingers and our community allies at www.tidetheleader.com. That's it.
Cool.
Well, Podtacular, thank you for having us on.
Well,
keep
thank
on
you.
Rocking it up.
Thank yeah, you for good. Being on.
Good to be back.
That's thank you for coming.
We expect many a clan match.
Oh, definitely. We'll get one on soon. We'll use nothing but SARS. And by that I mean bird flu.
Oh, nice.
And we'll field all of our midgets.
Nice. As long as they're riding folding bikes, it'll be a fair fight.
Sick folding bikes.
Good to talk to you, gentlemen. I gotta go play some Halo.
Well, let's close this out real quick. Until next time, I'm Dustorm.
I'm Chucky J.
I'm Zerg Steve.
I'm Smackified.
And I guess Zerg's off to play Halo, and we'll see you next week.
Keep on fragging trucks.
Fragging trucks!
Yeah! And stop stealing watches.
And swallowing them on the toilet.
'S only one thing left to say.
Chatting with Chucky, and we have some guys in our clan who are stationed in Iraq, and one guy was on our forum the other day talking about he hopes there's a dust storm again soon so that, you know, they'll shut down the base and he can play some Halo.
Oh, man.
And then I'm chatting with Chucky, and he sends me a text that says, "Dust storm will be late 15 minutes." And just where my head was about the whole notion of a dust storm, I didn't realize that was your gamer tag or that you were going to host. I read it as dust storm. We'll be late 15 minutes. And I'm like,
turn on your windshield wipers and drive past.
Again, you know, like the History Channel has all these things about like black blizzard.
Yeah.
So I was really scared for Chucky there for a second. I was like, wow, and he's going to still do the show as soon as he
That's hard. Contact guys don't mess around.
I'm kind of just like writing your names down in the way I can remember the pronunciations. Yeah.
Sonic.
I have to enunciate.
I didn't know there was going to be a test.
Yeah, I mean, there's about to be a big spelling and grammar test for both of you guys.
As long as it's multiple choice.
No, it's more like, can you read a sentence that doesn't make grammatical sense?
Yes, it will be...
Sure. We're internet forum denizens.
Oh, I forgot.
Sometimes we have, like, bullshit recruitment wars where we just storm each other's forums and fly.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it happens. It breaks out into the streets every once in a while.
It's about once every 6 months, I'd say. Yeah. That's about our rotation. I'd
say the worst it ever got was when we were all passing around this recon hound kid who wanted to get recon, and we were like, "Now you got to get that at Buddy Sister." And then Buddy Sister Gaming said, "You got to get that at Outcast Reborn."
Let me see one thing. Give me 2 minutes, guys. Hold on, real quick. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe you could just run a nice piano concerto behind the entire show. It would be different. It would mask it.
It probably would.
Just, you know, Beethoven's Fur Elise over and over and over and over.
And of course, now it's gone. I know that he's gone.
I know, really.
I won't do the show without Smack.
Maybe it's his, like, body EM field or something.
If that boy farts, he sets off his head. He can cripple a mainframe computer with a burp.
I hope you're recording.
Yeah, it's recording.
Be like the Matrix. Be like, Neo, here comes the Sentinel.
Alright. Wow. That's really funny for some reason.
Fart jokes always are. One constant in this unit.
Hey Neo, here come the Sentinels!
Here come the Sentinels, Neo, let fly! Alright! Get us out of here!
Oh wait! Now the ship's fried.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You let out a fart, you're stuck there in the tunnel or wherever you are for a while. You got to use that fart sparingly.
Teach, it has to be a tactical fart.
Like a tactical nuke.
Tactical nuke, tactical fart, same thing. Don't drop that just anywhere. These are people that win wars with each other when all they can hear is...
Wait, do that again?
Oh, I don't know.
It's horrible, horrible.
Dude, you got voice lag.
That's when we say that he's battling from the Huey Chopper.
I thought that only happened to Podtacular people.
Oh no, for some reason whenever Chucky is hosting a party, like, it gets really laggy for some reason. For his voice does. I don't know why.
I think that AOL broadband isn't all it's cracked.
You can't
buy into the advertising.
Ouch.
I know that Miley Cyrus commercial was pretty cool and all.
Not AOL, it's Net Zero.
This week on the GamerCast Network. With only 2 weeks left until PodToy's 100th episode, the cast will be desperately attempting to fill time by talking about console-specific DLC and LEGO Rock Band. Sorry. Check out Gamertag Radio for the perfect blend of music and video games. With the new Mythic maps out, you gotta wonder, are they all we expected them to be? Tune in to PodTacular to find out if Assembly made the cut. No, I'm not reading this. It's garbage, it's lowbrow, and it's offensive towards midgets. If you really want to kill some brain cells, go listen to Podcastle, Destructoid's Britpop podcast. On the 50th episode of the Sarcastic Gamer PlayStation podcast, they talk about piracy, Sony PR backpedaling, and wearing women's clothes. Tune in to Uncle Gamer Radio for their own special brand of humor. Discover the community that brings you all these great podcasts and more at GamerCastNetwork.com.